What does a pharmacist do? Well, most people might answer that a pharmacist dispenses the medications that my doctor prescribes. Now, I work with a ton of great pharmacists, and one thing that I don't generally see is excitement about pills in a vial. And this is probably because pharmacists have been trained to do so much more. So what can you get excited about in your community? To find out, let's go beyond the scripts. Hey everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Scripts. I'm your host, Will Tuft with Pioneer RX, and today a special guest joining us from Bremo Pharmacy, a face that you've probably seen before, recently making the social media waves on the NCPA website with the Show Me series. So Tana Kafer, thank you so much for joining me from Bremo Pharmacy. How are things out there?
Doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here today and talk about some of the things we're doing at Bremo.
Yeah, so definitely you guys keeping busy. I think Bremo Pharmacy is probably a pharmacy that sounds familiar. I think a lot of other pharmacies across the country probably heard about you guys. But if they haven't, tell me a little bit about Bremo.
Sure. So we are a family-owned company in Richmond, Virginia. We have two locations. It's our traditional community-based pharmacy, and then we also have a long-term care pharmacy. So a lot of the talk around this LTC at home, Bremo has been doing that for 35-plus years. We serve very small, we do no skilled nursing, so it's more adult home, group homes, patients with intellectual disabilities, mental health issues, and we have over 400 homes that we serve. And so these homes have an average of maybe 7 to 15 individuals, so very community dwelling. They're houses in the community, but we've been serving these patients for a very long time. And so that's one of our locations. And then, as I mentioned, we have the traditional community-based practice where we run a lot of our clinical programs, but there's a lot of crossover there as well.
Yeah. So are those two separate physical locations or is it a combo situation?
So we are in the same shopping center. So our shopping center is shaped like an L, is what I tell people. And on one end of the L is our community-based pharmacy. And then on the other end of the L is our long-term care pharmacy. And I guess I forgot to mention that we also have an office and training center. So we not only do traditional pharmacy, but we do offer a lot of training services. So we've been in the long-term care space for quite some time. And so in Virginia specifically, medication aides administer medications in these facilities. And so medication aides are not licensed healthcare professionals. They are individuals that are trained by a protocol that our board of nursing created, and we help teach them. And they give meds that patients would otherwise self-administer. So that's kind of how it's kind of put in the code. And so we've been training these medication aides since the inception, basically, of our long-term care pharmacy. And so in addition to serving their patients, we also train their caregivers that are there, help taking care of them. And so that's a big part of that's how our training system or training center got started. But in addition, we also offer an ASHP accredited pharmacy technician class. So we've been training technicians since 2002, but more recently in Virginia, the laws got updated where we have to go to an ASHP accredited course, which if you're not familiar with that, it's 400 plus hours to train a pharmacy technician to even be able to sit for the boards. And so that was we were going to get out of that space. And then we realized who else is going to train these technicians, how we want them to practice an independent community practice. And so we took on that role of creating this class, getting accredited. So we train pharmacy technicians in this space. And then also we do some CPR training as well.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot going on in one shopping center. That's pretty cool logistically to be that close so that you can obviously, share assets when necessary, but also far enough away to easily keep things divided. So seems like kind of the best of both.
Yeah. But I will tell you that most of our staff wish we were all in one space. So we do a lot of work around connecting the locations. And when people call that we're the same pharmacy, and still being separate can kind of muddy the waters a little bit sometimes. So,
sure. So tell me a little bit about your journey with Bremo. How long have you been there? And, what is that journey look like for you personally?
Sure. So I guess I have been in pharmacy my entire life. I mentioned this on the other podcast. So my dad was an independent pharmacist. And so I grew up in pharmacy and decided to go to pharmacy school. And when I graduated, I graduated in 2004. And this was a time when pharmacists were being paid these huge sign-on bonuses. There was such a shortage of pharmacists. You know, you could do whatever you wanted to do. And I decided to do a community pharmacy residency instead. And I always share anytime I'm given a public forum to talk about it, this was the best career decision of my life. I think it set me up very nicely for where I am today. It gave me the tools and skills that I needed to grow. And to this day, I still feel like I'm growing in my job and learning new things. And so I think that community pharmacy residency really set me up to do that. So big plug for that. I did my residency through VCU, and my practice site was Bremo Pharmacy. And so I got introduced to Bremo Pharmacy, who I knew the family. The family knew me. Independent pharmacy in Virginia is a small, you know, net community. And so got to do my residency with them. And very unfortunately, the owner and founder of Bremo Pharmacy passed away during my residency year. And he had two daughters who are pharmacists. One of them took over the president position. And that was not her original goal. Catherine Carey was in my position. When I got hired as a clinical coordinator of long-term care, our long-term care division. And she moved on to presidency. So I've watched her over the past, so I've been with Bremo for 20 years now. So I've watched her grow over the past 20 years, not wanting to be a president or owner. Really on the clinical side is where she saw herself. And she's transitioned into this whole new role that it's been fun to follow that journey and see the growth of Bremo over the years. So more to your question about what my journey looked like. So after my residency, I was lucky enough to get hired at Bremo, and I was in the clinical coordinator position in our long-term care side. So I was in charge of training all the medication aides, doing the quarterly or the quality assessments at the homes, doing chart reviews for our homes that needed to do that. I'm doing all the immunizations. So I headed up all the immunization projects at Bremo on the long-term care side and the community-based side. And then I mentioned there were two pharmacists that were daughters. One of them was a clinical coordinator at the retail side. She ended up leaving the pharmacy and going into clinic-based practice. So I took over a director of clinical services at that time. I don't even remember what year that was. But but I also, so part of my role is the site preceptor for our residency program. So I took over that role of precepting our community-based resident. And so I also helped precept all of the students. And really just oversee kind of all the clinical programs that are happening. And I feel like more recently, my role is empowering our pharmacists to embrace these new clinical services and roles. And I haven't had any problems selling that to them. They're super excited about it, but really letting them take those things on where I'm not touching and really doing all of those things anymore. It's more of an oversight process.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like at Bremo, a really important part of the structure there is kind of how you guys look at roles. So many times in independent pharmacy, the owner is wearing so many hats as a pharmacist, as the marketing person, as the, you know, one responsible for, you know, their compliance reporting and security and network and you name it. And it's interesting you mentioned too the kind of the refusal of the call. So there's an author, Joseph Campbell, who talks about the hero's journey, and part of that is the call to action and the initial refusal, and then the evolution of the role. You know, so you could think Star Wars with Luke Skywalker telling Obi-Wan, "No, I don't want to." But ultimately, it's the path that has been proven to make for a great story. So, did you have any reluctance yourself going into those roles?
Specifically, when we first started getting into synchronization, you know, now we have a very robust sync program. But I remember when Catherine came back from a conference and was like, we're going to do sync. And rolling that out to our staff, I will say that we, over the course of probably a year, lost a lot of our staff that had been there for a very long time because they weren't willing to make that mind shift change of where we're going and where pharmacy is going. And so we had to get the right people on board. And I think that's a huge thing in community pharmacy right now is how do you find those people and how do you hire smart hiring and really getting them into your vision and what the culture of your company is and making sure that their culture and your culture is matching up. And so we've worked really hard to get the right people over the years. And I think we are at an awesome place right now. Obviously always trying to bring in new ideas and things like that, but really promoting our pharmacy, not just by what we do, because we feel like we provide a lot of high quality services and we do a lot of the cutting edge things, but how we do it differently than maybe other pharmacies that are doing the same things. And so what we've done in this space is we have core values that we live by. And so anybody who gets hired, their core values are posted on our website. We have an intro video where we have different staff talking about what those core values mean to them. So when they're oriented to our pharmacy, they can see this being lived out on a day-to-day basis. And when we think about, are we going to bring this program in? Are we going to change this policy? We really reflect back on our core values to say, does this meet the vision of BREMO? Is this who we are? And do we want to move forward in this space?
Yeah. I mean, how does that translate to you know, real life in the pharmacy when you have this great idea and this great talk at on Monday afternoon? You know, how does that actually translate on Tuesday morning when everyone shows up and the queue is crazy? You've got an order to put away that's sitting in the corner, and you know, the urgence overshadows the important. How do you how does that actually translate to reality and from an ideal?
Yeah, so I think something we've done over the years is really set up a structure where our managers have scheduled time to do manager stuff, not just staff the pharmacy. And so the people that report to them know that they have certain time that they are going to talk to their manager. So it's not just a on the fly. It's a we have very scheduled time of when this is going to happen. We communicate a lot via email. We have a lot of meetings. Meetings take time, right? And so that's hard. But I think that if you don't have that, your staff doesn't know where you are and what you're thinking. And when they don't have that sense of certainty, it makes things not run as smoothly. So when they know what's coming down the pipe, they know what's going to be happening, it's much easier for them to get on board and know that they're a part of the process. So it's not just the managers say we're doing this, everybody do it. It's they are part of the process. A technician career pathway that we've created at BREMO. And this is more just to, again, engage our technicians more and use them to the quality that they can be, that they can, we can use them in the pharmacy. And they have lots of skills and talents. So how do we raise them up to be able to be also leaders in the pharmacy, not just our pharmacy managers? And so we've created this pathway where technicians have people that report to them. So we have managers like technicians that then report. They have understudies to them. And what we're finding now that we have implemented this is that these technicians want to do these things. They're excited about these roles. But what they lack, similarly to what pharmacy residents lack and new pharmacists out of pharmacy school, is the leadership skills to lead people, right? Pharmacists are coming out as managers. Whether or not you have the training to do that or not, you're in a position where you have to be a manager. And so they don't have the skills to do that. And so we're kind of now realizing that we've trained all of our managers in this way to how do you have difficult conversations? How do you coach these people? How often should you meet? What things do they need to do to have these conversations and really run a successful pharmacy? But now that we have technicians in those more managerial roles, how do we get them to that spot? And so Brimo has really invested in leadership training for not just our managers, but also any technicians that want to be involved in that. And now, as we do that formally, obviously bringing someone in to help train them, but now we're doing it more informally where we are going to set up meetings with our lead technicians and someone, one of the pharmacists' team, is going to lead that discussion. So, for example, I'm doing a session with our technicians in June on leadership styles. So they'll do some work outside of this session to figure out where they most likely lean into their leadership styles. And then we're going to talk about it. And then how do you work with other leadership styles within your pharmacy? And how do you, maybe this is your dominant leadership style, but how do you kind of maybe morph a little bit when you're working with somebody that's very different than you are? And how do you communicate with them? And how do you work through difficult situations? So, I do a similar training with our pharmacy residents. I realized how impactful this was for me in my personal life and how I grew as a leader doing these trainings. And so now I'm trying to pay it forward. And so I literally just got off a call right before this one with our residents at BCU, our community-based residents, in talking about the wheel of life balance for them. And so every week I do a session, like a mini session, a micro session on how do you deal with these things once you get into practice, the things that, drug interactions, you know how to talk to somebody with diabetes and you know how to manage chronic diseases, but you can't manage the people that you're with because you don't know how, you're scared to have a difficult conversation. So I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, I can think to my years on the road on the installation team, and I've seen pharmacists who were owners who were working so hard in their pharmacy and knee deep in the minutia that they probably would have been much better served to delegate. There's so many things that must be done in the pharmacy. Those tasks can be delegated, and you can work in your pharmacy, work on your pharmacy a little bit differently. It really is putting in a different kind of work, isn't it?
It is very much, and it's hard, right? It's hard because it takes time to develop people, and you just want them to come in and be able to do the things, right? So the training process, the orientation process is so important. And letting them know not only who we are, but getting to know who they are and where their strengths are so that we can elevate them and those things that they're really good at. But yes, it does take a lot of time. And being a type A pharmacist, as most of us are, I would say it's hard to delegate because if I give this up, is it going to be done to my level? What might get dropped? What might not happen if I don't do it? And so letting go has been a challenge for a lot of our managers. And for me, too, I certainly struggle with that because I know how I do certain things. And I'm trying to kind of get my mind around, just because somebody else does it differently doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. As long as we're meeting those same goals and objectives, it can get done a different way. And if someone else can do it better, why not allow them to do that?
We're talking about delegation, and like that really does seem like the key to success at Brimo, and at least on some level is being able to focus on those different roles and develop those different roles, and then once you've kind of redefined those roles, it's enabled you to kind of redefine your workflow. So MedSync getting started, I think most pharmacies can relate to that being a difficult process, and really anytime you're trying to change, and especially anytime you're trying to do things two different ways in the pharmacy, because you're not just flipping the switch to everyone on MedSync, it can definitely be challenging. So how long ago did you guys start to focus on medication synchronization?
I know, I was trying to think about that. I remember what resident we had in place, but I don't remember what year she was there. So let's just say 10 years ago. It was very early in the process. This was before it was kind of a buzzword. And of course, like I said, Catherine saw it at a PDS conference and came back and was like, "This is the future. We have to do this." And but we hadn't done a lot of those back end things, right? So we weren't meeting routinely with our managers to talk about what our goals were. We didn't have the process set up where the direct reports to the managers had scheduled time to talk to them. And so the communication piece has been and will is continuing to be what our chat is a challenge, right? So how do we communicate all the things that are going on and what we're doing, and how do we get all of our people on the same page? And so we didn't, it was a hard process for us to get started, and we're still not 100% there, but we are so much better in communication and having those things. So for example, we have quarterly staff meetings where we go over like, what are our errors that we're having, that we're seeing trends in? You know, what are our complaints? What are those trends that we're seeing? So we get every, and it's a requirement for full-time employees to come to that. So that's a way we communicate. Since we started doing employee surveys, now we do a monthly, what we call the grapevine. So the grapevine is what's going on at the different locations and how do we tie it all together. So if somebody calls Bremo community-based pharmacy and asks this question, but they call the wrong pharmacy, they call our long-term care pharmacy, how do we communicate and know what's going on? Like, no, we don't do that here. Like, no, we do. We do that here. And so getting everybody, and so we have something in addition, we have something called Bremo Brains. So Bremo Brains is something the community resident takes care of. So when there's new guidelines that we need to make sure all the pharmacists know about, or we do our immunization update that way, or if we have students that come in and there's something that is pressing that we need to get out to all of our staff, they will do, we'll do what we call Bremo Brains. And prior to COVID, this was in person. Now we've made so many changes since COVID, not just in our hours that people are there, that, you know, it makes it much harder for everybody to be there, to be able to be in person. So we record those sessions and we make that part of their continuing education that they have to do as part of their, you know, monthly in-services that they, so we put all the, it didn't just start this way. It was like, wow, we do, our marketing team does so much, but the people in the store don't know that we do these services. How do they talk intelligently to somebody who calls on the phone without forwarding all the phone calls to me? Like, oh, this is a Tana question, you know? So we're, that process is, has been ongoing. And I think that that has really, really helped us. And it's not a single step. It is multiple steps. And it's been over multiple years that we've tried and tried something else. And again, getting the right people in the right places is so important.
So how many people are we talking in these right places? Like how big is the team across all three of those
That's a
areas?
great question. So prior to 2 years ago, we bought the records from a different pharmacy. So we acquired some of their staff. We were about 30 employees. Some of, not all of those were full time. But just that's how many people were part of Bremo, say they work at Bremo. And that includes delivery drivers, technicians, pharmacists, our office staff. So 30. And now we're up to 50. So we have really grown with the addition of this pharmacy. And what we realized very early on in the process is, wow, these people don't know the Bremo way. Like we needed to bring them along because they were those their patients, but they didn't understand who we were as a company and what our culture is. And so that really got us thinking about, well, when we hire new people on, how do we get them? So let me back up. Sorry, I'm a rambler. And my brain is a squirrel. So it's like here. So Catherine, the president of our company, used to do all the onboarding for every new hire because she felt very strongly about sharing that family value and what our core value and really the history behind Bremo and why you want to work here and all of that. And that was something that she felt very strongly about. And then we were in this hiring cycle where getting rid of people, bringing people on. I mean, it just got to be too much. She couldn't do that and run the company. And so we had to figure out what are some ways that we can still share her vision and culture without her physically having to be there doing it. And so that's when we started creating these videos and these monthly sessions from our HR department about what BRIMO is and how we got to where we are and you know, what's important to us. And so we've even changed in the last couple of years on how we communicate these things to our staff. So it is very difficult. And we've had so many new hires over the past year that I do all the OSHA training, so bloodborne pathogens for all the new hires. And I see some people, and this is very weird, from our very small pharmacy. I'm like, wait a minute, do I know that person? Who is that person? Because I don't work with them every day. So we've gotten to a point where we are growing, and how do we keep us all on the same page and towards the same vision? And that comes from, you know, from the top, right? You know, Catherine communicates it down to her managers. They communicate it down to the technicians and drivers, and they carry out the vision of BRIMO.
So, you know, I feel like at Pioneer, I can kind of relate to, you know, that growth. Obviously, there was a time when I started when everyone was in one room. And, you know, I knew everybody in there because that was all of our hardware support, software support, you name it. And a lot of those familiar faces are still here. But, you know, we have a lot of customers that range from, you know, way bigger to way smaller than BRIMO. But I don't feel like those ideas are unrelatable to either. So if I'm in a pharmacy where I'm the owner, operator, pharmacist in charge, head floor sweeper, you know, everything in one, I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, she mentioned three different communication threads plus, you know, a quarterly meeting. I would have to, you know, have somebody dedicated just to do all of that. So A, is that correct? And B, is that a bad thing if it is?
Yeah, I wish I had all the answers. And yeah. I do speak to like our Virginia Pharmacists Association. So I'm talking to fellow independent pharmacists. And I realize that BRIMO is sometimes advanced in those ways. And we didn't start that way. It wasn't, you know, we've been doing, I mean, I can go back to the evolution of how this all happened. And it happened out of necessity, right? I mean, we weren't meeting our patients' needs because our people didn't know what we did. The team wasn't on board with SYNC, but this was the direction we needed to go, and we need to figure it out. And so we had a lot of tough conversations. And I think that's sometimes lacking in pharmacists in general is, you know, I'm so focused on taking care of the patient and managing their drug regimen. I'm really good at that. But my people skills of addressing things that are not going well and doing that in a way that motivates change, right? It's not, and having those conversations takes practice. So something else I do with the residents is we practice that stuff. How do you have a difficult conversation? Let's pretend. Let's pretend I'm on the other end and I'm late every day and you're trying to address that with me. So it's not been an easy process. But to your point of where do you get started, I think if you're not communicating with your team about your vision and where you want to go with the pharmacy, that is where I would start and make that a priority. I mean, and I'm not talking this is an hour meeting every week, you know, these check-in points. What do you need from me? How can I help you in your role? These are the focuses that we're going to focus on. And so I guess something I didn't mention that is very important is goal setting, right? And I think if you're not having that as a management team or as a pharmacy owner, if you're not communicating out to your staff what your goals are, it's hard for them to work with a purpose. And so as a management team, every year we do set our short-term goals or our goals for the year. And then we plan games throughout the quarters so that the staff can understand what the goal is and work towards it. So let me give you an example. We had a bingo game where we would put, so let's say our goal is to attain 80% outcomes MTM submissions for our primary patients. And so anytime someone completes an MTM, they would fill up that bingo square. So let's say that for that month, you'd had to do 10 MTMs to get that bingo square. And then another one is talk to 5 bottled patients, so patients that get their prescriptions in bottles, and get them switched to packaging. And so the technician, whoever, so anybody can participate, and it's getting towards our end goals, right, to meet these. So these are our goals, and then these are the things that we're going to use to get there, and we made it into a game. So, and we competed between the locations. So their goals are very different, but they can still, you know, meet the bingo board. So if you got bingo, the location got lunch. If you got the whole bingo board over the quarter, we did a big community event. So we would go bowling. We had a pool party, those types of things. I guess really what I want to say is if you're not investing in your staff, they're not going to see it as a place that they want to stay. And I feel like being a technician is not just a step on the ladder, right? I think it's a career pathway. And I think that this is maybe a new phenomenon for a lot of pharmacies to see it this way. It is so hard to get someone trained, on board, doing what they need to do. And so when you get somebody who's really good, how do you keep them there? How do you know that they don't want to go do some work somewhere else that's maybe not as busy, or, you know, so really communicating with them what their goals are and how they can advance in their job. So you're not going to be filling bubble packs the entire time. I want you to work up these MTM patients. Can you look on the VIS and see what immunizations they might need with the proper training, obviously, but there's room for advancement, and they see growth in their position and they want to stay with Brimo. And that's how you promote services, people that have been there forever and know all the things we do, right? You can't come in the door on day one and be like, I can talk to you about pharmacogenetic testing, and I can talk to you about food sensitivity testing, and I can talk to you about MTM. Like, they don't know those things. But yeah. The longevity, the people that have been there forever do, and they can have those conversations, and you can involve them in the process so that they feel like they're a part of the bigger vision.
Yeah. And that's so important, because across the country, the ND job posting description for a pharmacy technician is pretty, you know, consistent, but the actual role they perform within every pharmacy varies drastically. But things like autonomy and ownership and personal investment and personal growth and relationship and all of those can vary wildly from, you know, location to location. And those are things that a pharmacy has total control of. So I think Brimo's really kind of a standout in that realm of, you know, utilizing those resources available and growing those opportunities by, you know, lifting up their technician role.
It makes me so excited. Like, this is, it's lighting me up right now. Like, I think it is so fun to see them get excited about something and want to take ownership. And sometimes, and I see this with students and residents, their ideas are way better than mine could ever be. So really opening up that conversation and asking their input versus saying, well, this is what I think they want. You have no idea unless you ask the question. And I feel like the reason Brimo is where we are today is because of our investment in our staff and their growth in their positions across the board, not just technicians, also our managers. You can't expect others to grow if you can't help them get there.
Yeah. And I mean, again, that's something that translates regardless of size. If you are, you know, week one of a opening a new pharmacy and you have one or two technicians, you know, it can be such an amazing resource to be able to lean on those valuable team members. Whereas if you have 200 locations in your chain, you know, engaging those technicians where you have such opportunities for disengagement is so crucial to make sure that you're keeping that mindful movement forward.
And to that point, not allowing people who don't want to be there to continue to be there long term. Like, don't be afraid to say this is not a good fit. And we can't continue to move forward. This isn't good for you. It isn't good for me. And so we have those procedures in place too with new hires and how we do a 30, 60, 90 day evaluation, because it doesn't work out all the time. We do expect a lot because we do a lot and we are high service. And so we need people who also share that vision. And sometimes that doesn't work out. And so we've been through, as many pharmacies have, a hiring just circle, right? I mean, and even you hire somebody you're so excited about and then they don't show up the first day. I mean, we're not immune to any of this stuff. I mean, it is happening. It has happened. We're short-staffed sometimes. We're having to move people around. I mean, it is, despite our efforts in trying to hire correctly and get the right people on board and really sharing our culture and our vision and trying to be a place that people want to work, it's still, you know, it doesn't work sometimes. And so it's hard. And I see what's happening within the company and the roles that my technicians have now and how happy they are in their jobs. And it just, like I said, it lights me up. It is so exciting because I feel like I can do what I do much better because they take care of the stuff that they can do way better than I can. And it's just been, it's a game changer. It's a game changer.
Yeah. It's a big difference. And, you know, as Jay Phipps would say, turning your team into pharmacy gladiators rather than, you know, meandering workers. It's a big difference. So shifting gears a little bit, you know, you kind of mentioned being short staffed. One of the things that I think is also going to translate regardless of size is, you know, being able to pivot because your workflow is predictable and your appointment-based model is another strong point of Brimo success, I think. So tell me a little bit about the, you know, practicality of how that works and fundamentally how you've assigned roles and built your business around that.
Yes. I have been a proponent of appointment-based medicine for years. If you talk to any of the residents I've worked with over the past 20 years, I say, if you're not making and scheduling appointments, and I started this with immunizations, you know, when everybody's like, oh, walk-ins, welcome. Great, walk-ins are welcome. And also you can make an appointment and I can have someone here that can better take care of you when you walk in the door, right? So I have been a huge proponent of this and how it shapes our workflow. First of all, our hours have completely changed. So prior to COVID, 9 to 6. So everybody came in at 9. Well, some people came in at 9:30, depending on. But my point is, like, most all of our staff, now we have such a staggered way of doing it. So we have staff there at 7 a.m. So we have our first shift come on at 7 and they do all the, like, they can package and work up all the sync stuff, right? Because that doesn't require, we know that work is sitting there to do. And we can get a lot of the queue run, all of that before we open the doors to the public at 9. So we have a 7 a.m. shift, an 8 shift, an 8:30 shift, a 9 and 9:30. So we have people coming in at different times. And I think that is really awesome. That's having the appointment-based model, knowing what sync patients are due. We can do work outside of traditional pharmacy hours. And that has been super helpful. We've always done that on our long-term care side. This is just funny to me that our long-term care pharmacy has been working, we didn't call it sync, but our patients were on cycles. Like, that's how we started it. We had a first of the month cycle and a 15th of the month cycle. So you were either a first of the month home or a 15th of the month home. And when you came in with a new prescription, the software was set up that it automatically calculated up till either the first or the 15th. And then we ran the fill list and we got the new. I mean, it just, that's just how. So the fact that we didn't think that that would be a good model in our community-based pharmacy for so long, it's now it's comical to me. And so we were doing that in our long-term care pharmacy where we started earlier, because those bubble packs still had to be filled. Like, we knew how many people, you know, when it needed to go out the door to get it to them by the first. So we did a similar model. So it took a while to like come around to that way of thinking on our community-based side, which now, like I said, seems so weird. But now we're essentially running it the same way. So we have our monthly side and we have our daily side. So you have your people that need acute things and you have those technicians that work on the counter and do the e-scripts that are coming in for the day, that sort of thing. But then you have your monthly side. So those are your future renewals. Those are your sync patients that you know are due on the certain days. And so those people are working on a very different thing. Yeah, the appointment, I love the appointment-based model. It allows, I tell patients when they call in and they just want to speak to me, you know, we offer this as a service. We do med reviews. Would you like to make an appointment? I can do that very easily for you versus taking up 15 minutes of my time giving me your history over the phone when I know ultimately I'm going to need to make an appointment and sit down with you anyway. So it's not about being rude. It's about I can better help you if I have dedicated time to do that. And right now I do not have dedicated, you know, 20 minutes in my, while I'm staffing the pharmacy to talk to you about this drug related problem that you're having.
Yeah. It is funny relating LTC practice to retail practice. And, you know, you would never think that I'm going to take on this facility and I'll just fill one prescription at a time. And, you know, even deliver. And of course, you would say, oh, no, we'll deliver at some interval. It just makes sense. Meanwhile, a patient walks in. No. Meanwhile, you know, a patient would walk into the pharmacy and you're like, here's one of your prescriptions. I'll see you in a week, maybe, you know, and next month we'll see what happens. Who knows?
It blows my mind and mostly on the delivery side, right?
Yeah.
So we have always offered delivery as a service. And I'm like, oh my gosh, our delivery drivers, we're going to these people's houses like every week. What? And we didn't think this was a bad idea. I don't know. You didn't see the connect. It's when you're blinded, right? You're in it so much, you know, they can't see the forest for the trees because you're in it so much that you can't realize how to improve efficiencies. And we're working on it still.
Yeah, it's interesting. When MedSync was first kind of introduced in Pioneer RX, I remember the early days where there was such a focus on 5-star. And that was really the motivating factor for, you know, a lot of pharmacies, I think, in the beginning, back, you know, 10 years ago, to, you know, focus on your 5-star patients, on those... Yeah, on those priority therapeutic classes, you know, and over the years, it's like, well, yeah, that's obviously, you know, priority therapeutic classes are important, but let's focus on, man, we're delivering to this person 3 times this week. You know, the efficiency of the process has become almost more important. And then outside of that, the opportunity of saying, okay, instead of talking to this patient, you know, for workflow and 5 different prescriptions where we have a call in for, you know, a refill request, a call out to let them know it's ready, time for them in the pharmacy, time for, you know, data entry, fill, check, will call. You know, there's all these touch points. And if you just attach 5 minutes apiece to all of those touch points for 5 prescriptions, all of a sudden, over the course of a month, you spent 2-3 hours on this patient where you could have spent, you know, a 10-minute phone call and a 15-minute face-to-face and got their immunizations and, you know.
Yes. We work all of our clinical programs through our synchronization program. So those are the patients that we're targeting for the programs that we have going on. Certainly, we're going to have signage in the store and we're going to ask people, you know, that aren't in the sync program, but they're not the priority. So that's, we trigger e-care plans for different sync patients based on, you know, what criteria we're working on for this specific program. Like, for example, we're working on a program with APHA to do EKG leads in the pharmacy. So we're targeting certain patients so that when their sync call comes up, we're also going to ask them, would you want to make an appointment to come in and do this? And so we can screen for your stroke risk, and we can, you know, all the things that are built into the eCare plan. I love eCare plans. When I say I love them, I have a pharmacist on my team that thinks they're a puzzle and just loves figuring out how they're going to trigger and what's going to come up and how to submit. And so that's been a godsend. She is amazing. And she loves doing it. And so anytime we have a new clinical program, now it's just kind of, I won't say it's easy, but it's so much easier with the eCare plan process because we know who we're targeting and it can align with their sync call or it can align with something else that's coming up for this patient. And it, again, to your point, how many times you're touching a patient, it allows it to be much more succinct and able to do that. And that's how doctors do it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they mostly touch their patients when they're in their office. So if you have something you want to address with the doctor, find out when the patient's next appointment is. And that's when they're going to be probably more apt to respond and more apt to act on something because they have the patient's chart in front of them and they know they've just met with that patient and they understand the issue versus randomly when they, you know, have to go back to their EHR and bring up that patient. I just worked with a group to present at our annual meeting, and we had two providers. And so we really, it was fun working with them and collaborating with them because I could see what their pain points were. And they had no idea why we did how we do things in the pharmacy. And so the collaboration between that was magical. It really was. And then we were able to share that with, you know, with the pharmacist. So.
Yeah. So for anyone that's not currently using Care Goals, your Care Goal can be triggered on any piece of criteria because you have that custom kind of engine within Pioneer RX and some other softwares where you can trigger a Care Goal based on very specific criteria, whether that's a lab or the need or lack of an immunization on their profile, or so many different ways you could trigger that. But then again, you're able to not only trigger that opportunity to let your team know, hey, here's an opportunity, but you can document that opportunity and even automate some things. You guys have done a great job at utilizing the feature to send automated text messages. I saw that you guys kind of employed some of those in your Care Goals. So really just using that whole suite of tools. And again, if you're a pharmacist who is unlocking the door and doing, you know, wearing all of those hats, you're going to struggle to also probably be the one that designs all of those, you know, practical applications in the software too.
Yeah, that, and like I said, we have a champion at BRIMO who really embraced that and realized how much it plays a role in workflow. And because of that importance, has made it her mission to figure those things out. And she teaches others how to do it. So we have a technician now that creates eCare plans. Now it gets like run by the main pharmacist to make sure she set everything up right and, you know, tried, you know, it's triggering correctly, all of that. Something else that I don't know that people know is you don't want all these eCare plans dumping into your workflow on day one that they get triggered, right? Like that is overwhelming. We're also doing a project for HPV vaccine. And so just targeting this age group, we set limits on the eCare plan where only 5 drop in a day. So you're not overwhelmed. And then over the course of the next 3 months, we'll meet our enrollment goals. But so there's so many different, there's a lot of different utility of these plans. A wish is that there weren't so many clicks to get into, and I get it. I wish there was more, you know, it was easier to get to. And there's also for pharmacists who aren't using this to its fullest potential, there's a lot of templates that you can use. And so, you know, trying with those and turning on maybe just some of it versus all of it, because opening up your queue and having 600 eCare plans that need to be completed, that's overwhelming.
Yeah, I love that approach with the limits, because you can say, here's a great opportunity, but, you know, especially if you're focusing on something, you know, for your seniors, all of a sudden, you know, you've triggered more opportunities than you can deal with in one day. But being able to ease into it, say, hey, here's what we're going to focus on this month. Here's a March, and we're going to do 3 a day. And
talk about it, tweak the process, figure out what's working, what's not working. And then you kind of move the goalpost and keep moving forward. And that way you're not just creating noise. It's so easy to flip a switch and create create havoc.
I remember when that happened and we were like, oh gosh, we can't. And so learning that there's a lot more utility to this, and it's helpful. It's super helpful. I am a huge believer. I teach, so I also do disease state education for a contract that I have in a different county. And I talk about micro habits. And I think it probably stemmed from the book Atomic Habits, but I only read a summary of that, didn't read the whole thing. So micro habits might be my own word. It might be something I stole from someone else. I'm not really sure. But I talk about how it's the little things you do that lead to the big things, right? And so when we talk about meeting with your staff, well, that might seem overwhelming. If you have 20 staff, you're like, I can't meet with all of them on a regular basis. But who should you be meeting with? And how frequent can you have a 5-minute meeting with your managers once every quarter? Probably that's a doable thing, and making it a priority and making follow-up a priority. Could you learn how to queue e-care plans based on pneumococcal vaccine and your patients over 65? You know, start with something small so that you, and it will make a big impact over time, and get your staff on board and really not moving things along too quickly. I think where we struggled a lot in the beginning, especially when we learned about e-care plans and implementing clinical programs, was we did things too quickly. Like, we would do monthly initiatives, and that's too much for most projects. So we went back to quarterly initiatives. So this quarter, we're going to focus on our osteoporosis screening, and that's what we're going to target. And so we don't just have a month to talk to our sync patients. We can slowly, over the course of 3 months, talk to them about this and see if they're willing to come in and schedule an osteoporosis screening. Or there's new blood pressure guidelines. So we do a Bremo Brains on what that is and get everybody up to speed. And then we roll out these e-care plans. We're calling our sync patients. Do you know what your blood pressure goal is? Do you check your blood pressure routinely? Do you have a blood pressure cuff at home? And so you can have these conversations, and then it builds, right? So then we know the patients that aren't at goal, didn't know their goal. And then we enroll them in another program where maybe remote patient monitoring. So there's just so many opportunities. And I know this sounds like, how can I do all these things? You don't. You start with the things you can do, not all the things you can't do. And it's the micro habits, the daily changes that you make that lead to the big things. And that's how we've gotten to where we are.
Yeah, I love that too. And you know, when you are taking that approach, when you're looking at it through those small steps, you're gathering wins too, you know, and those wins can really change your mindset. I'm not facing this enormous hill, you know, I'm celebrating this small win.
Exactly. And that's what motivates your staff to move forward. And that's why we do a lot of the games at Bremo, because it's those small things, and they get excited about a trip out of the pharmacy or lunch or, you know, what, and we let them to decide. We'll have like an ice cream social. So there's letting your staff determine also what those rewards will be. And we're all working towards a common goal. I think a lot of times there's so many different things going on that we don't realize what the other person's doing and how it's relating to profitability in the pharmacy. And so ultimately that's our goal. What are all our little steps that we're going to get there? And how do you specifically fit into this equation? You're important. We need you. And this is why.
Yeah. So it really seems like Bremo has put a lot of intentionality into the experience when you go in every day, your role, your processes, your expectations for the patients, and creating a normal environment of here's what's expected, here's what's happening, and progression forward is going to be kind of the natural result of that. So what are you excited about next?
Oh, gosh. So in Virginia, we recently got Medicaid test and treat provider status.
Nice.
So we are in the process now of getting credentialed, which is a fun process. And I say fun very sarcastically. And we're getting into the medical billing side. So we've done some medical billing with our DME and things like that. But I'm really excited to see this other side of medical billing. And we have a lot of help from CPESN. I'm very involved with CPESN and their special purpose efforts on the medical billing side. So for me, that's pretty exciting because I do see a new pathway for pharmacy. And I think that I'm not seeing a lot of pharmacists. I haven't seen a lot of pharmacists getting credentialed and doing this. It's been slow uptake. And so I'm trying to figure out, similarly to talking to you and what are the baby steps you can take, I'm trying to figure out how can I help others get to this place? Because if we don't show that we're interested and we don't get credentialed and we don't do this because we're so stuck in the day-to-day, I've got to process these prescriptions. These patients need their prescriptions. And they do, right? I mean, you have to get those out the door. So if you're a one-man show, how do you implement this? And I'm excited and terrified about how to help others do this because I don't have the answers, but I want to be able to help them along because I feel like it is a way to get revenue outside of a product, which has been kind of my goal in life since I started pharmacy, to disassociate from the product. And that's an important piece. And that's how we get and talk to patients. And yes, we can manage that. And we have so many other skills, as we know. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, obviously, that we can bring to the table. And I feel like we have to act on these opportunities that are given to us. And sometimes it seems like there's too much to do to even go down this path. And so I really am trying to find some practical ways to help others realize that this is something they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody listening, lean on your team, lean on your technicians, and lean on your support networks like CPESN,
Special purpose efforts.
Special purpose medical efforts.
Billing. Mm-hmm. Well, there's special purpose networks and special purpose efforts. We have lots of acronyms at CPESN.
Yeah. I got to talk to SWAT recently about some of those opportunities, and there's so many different exciting avenues that they're pursuing. So definitely look into that. And we're about out of time, so I'm going to let you get back to all of those mini hats that you're wearing there and back to that rock star team.
Oh, thank you, Will. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. I really appreciate this opportunity and excited to share with anyone who wants to reach out. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks again for joining. And thanks also for lending us one of your technicians for the Catalyst Connect show coming up. Merity is going to be joining us. So thanks so much for all that you do. And thank you for your team for being rock stars.
She is a rock star on our team. Absolutely. So excited for her too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Scripts, presented by the Catalyst Pharmacy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please support our channel by liking, subscribing, and clicking the notification bell so that you'll be notified anytime we post new content. To stay up to date with all of the latest independent pharmacy news and content, follow Pioneer RX on your preferred social media platform.